Delaware woman is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now it's not the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July 31, 2023. It is the 14th day of Ab, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song, and then we're going to go into prayer thought and our sermon. We have heard the joyful sound, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Spread the tidings all around, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Bear the news to every land, time receives and costs away. On the tears of Yah's confront, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Walked along the road in time, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Hell to sin is far and wide, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing ye heavens of the sea, echo back the ocean cave. Earth shall keep the jubilee, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing above the battle shrine, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. By his death an endless life, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph for the tomb, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Give the wind a mighty voice, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This is the song of victory, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Okay, we're going to do two timely greetings, number 41. The name of our sermon today is Current Events, the Palestine Situation, and How Close Unto the Separation. Bitti Hallef, November the 6th, 1948. And he's stating, I have been asked to give a study on the current events on the Palestine Situation, and on the separation caused by the slaughter that is forecast in Ezekiel's vision. I wish that I could tell you all you want to know, but I cannot say how soon the separation for the purification of the church, Testimony Volume 5, Page 8, will take place. For Yahweh alone knows the time. All I know is that it cannot take place before we prepare the way, before our Yahweh's given work in the connection with the Ezekiel 9 is done. Then it will come to pass that the Yahweh, Yahshua the Son, will suddenly come to his temple, and it says the church, parenthesis, and purify the sons of Levi, that would be the 144,000. The ministry. Matthew 3:1-3. But those who receive not the mark will fall under the slaughter weapons of the angels, as did the unfaithful firstborn in the night of the Passover in the land of Egypt. I am, however, certain that Yahweh will not keep us ignorant of the things we ought to know. If it becomes necessary for us to know ahead of time the day and the hour of the purification of the church, the antitypical Passover, we will be told. Yes, we shall know at least as much in advance as Moses knew about the Passover in his day. He did not know months ahead the day and the hour of the event that were then to take place, but he was instructed and of his and of the people's duties and of what to expect from day to day. Neither did he know beforehand that they were to come up against the Red Sea, but as the cloud led them there, and as the Egyptians followed close behind, he was then told what to do. Moreover, at the time they crossed the sea, he did not know that they were to spend 40 years in the desert, nor that the grown-ups among them were to perish while on their journey to the promised land. Thus must it be today, because the secret things belong unto the Yahweh, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and unto our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29:29. Yahweh knows how to lead and how to save. I cannot therefore give you light beyond what inspiration makes known. I can only speak of the things that are revealed. For the most exciting current event that we know of is the presidential election, which stands only 2 days in the future. As the nation sees it, this is now the biggest thing in the world. Even though many will not get what they want, for each one of the different parties has named its own nominee on the presidential ballot, but only one president is to be elected. All seem to think that peace and prosperity depends upon man, upon the man they put in the White House. Upon the authority of the word, though, I stand to tell you that regardless who is put in the office, there will be no peace and desirable lasting prosperity. For Yahweh is left out of the plan which has been devised, although he alone can give what we are after. And now how may we know that Yahweh is not taking into partnership the clue that gives the answer is this: if the church members themselves leave Yahweh out of the consideration and go to men for the counsel instead of to Yahweh, then how can one expect the world to go to him? I have in my possession hundreds of letters from our own denomination that proves this very thing. For they give me this information by saying, I never read your literature and never will. Our ministers have investigated your teaching and they have found them to be false. We have all the truth. We need nothing more. Take my name off your mailing list. Practically all of these brethren that are trapped by the lid of sin have in need of nothing. I dare attempt to refute the message of the present truth by the quoting from the Sister White's writings, in spite of the fact that their quotations are irrelevant for the subject and misconstrued in their own mind. All quote passages which the leading brethren have cunningly passed on under them in their brochures against us, and all of them sang the same layered of sin song that the leading brethren have put into their mouths. For these things again and again prove that instead of using their own Yahweh-given reason, the multitude are led by the minds of a few positive brethren. Passages, though such as the ones I am about to read to you, are kept away from them. Let me now read these simple and to the point lines of the inspired writ, which need no comment. Introduce nothing that will cause dissension without the clear evidence that in it Yahweh is giving a special message for this time. But beware of rejecting that which is the truth. For the great danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves or weighing evidence have confidence in the leading men and accept the decision they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Yahweh sends unto his people. If these leading brethren do not accept them, it says no one should claim that he has all the light there is for his people, Yahweh's people. And Yahweh will not tolerate this. Testimonies to Ministers, page 106 and 107. For we must state the truth for ourselves. No man should be relied upon to think for us, no matter who he is or in what position he may be placed. We are not to look upon any man as a criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject one to another, but at the same time we are to exercise the ability Yahweh has given us in order to learn what is the truth. Each one of us must look unto Yahweh for the divine enlightenment. We must individually develop a character that will stand the test in the day of the Yahweh. You know, I'm not gonna repeat all this stuff that I don't have no meaning. He's just talking about nothing. Okay, it says that. Now, as to what I think about the Palestine situation itself, I think the Jews need to have a place to go. But, but I do not think Yahweh is leading them. If Yahweh drove the Jews from his land because of their wickedness, because he no longer could tolerate them, then it is certain that he is not leading them back to it now, while they are of the same mind and just as hostile against his son as they were 2,000 years ago. For the Jews, therefore, are taking the land on their own responsibility, and when the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, end, the new state of the Israel as they call themselves will then vacate the land much faster than they can now take it, unless they take Yahweh into the land with them. For Yahweh is nevertheless to have a people there, but they will be the kind that he tells of in the scriptures, some of which I shall now read. Jeremiah 30:18-22. Thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own hill, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed their thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, says Yahweh? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:6-10-34. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, and to Yahweh our Father, for this saith Yahweh. Sing with the gladness. Let's do that again. Arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Yeshua, our Savior and Deliverer. For thus saith Yeshua, sing with the gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yeshua, say thy people, the remnant of Israel, behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications, till I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, sure, O ye nation, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather them and keep them as a shepherd doth his flock. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hosea 3:4-5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. After shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Yahweh will have a people in the land, all right, but they all shall know the Yahshua. Those, therefore, who are now trying to establish themselves in the Palestine are not that people. To learn who the people are that will inherit the land, read tract number 8, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. But you say, is there no prophecy concerning what the Jews are doing today in Palestine? There must be a prophecy. Let me read it unto you. Zephaniah 2:1-3. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the deep creep bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you, before the day of the Yahshua's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, that have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that maybe that ye shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. These verses of the scriptures, you know, are to meet the fulfillment just before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua breaks upon the nation and not desired. And while this undesired nation is gathering together, then it is that all the meek of the earth, those who have borne the Yahshua's message before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the church, our council, to still seek meekness. There are therefore two people brought to view in these verses: the nation not desired and the meek of the earth. Now, in view of the fact that there is but one such desired, undesired nation, the Jewish, and none other that is hated by all nations, this scripture cannot possibly apply unto another people. Also, the fact that now, while we are broadcasting a message of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the day before the day of the Yahshua's anger, the undesired Jews would world over are gathering together in the Palestine. I say, in view of all these things now, contemporaneously taking place, the truth of the scriptures boldly stand out, showing that the anger of the Yahshua is to fall upon the Jews unless they reform, and not they, but the meek of the earth are to inherit the land. And so, according unto the scriptures, Jew and Arab alike are to go out of the promised land, and the meek of the earth to march into it. How are they to get there? And who is to open the way? The answer to these questions we shall find in Zechariah 14:4-5. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall creep in the Misera toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee unto the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Ezel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of the Uzziah king of the Judah, and the Yeshua shall come, and all the saints with thee. This thee is the 144,000. Yeshua is yet the saints from somewhere, and he's gathered them with the house of David, and he's bringing them personally himself to the land of Israel. For Yahshua himself, you see, is to open the way for the returning of his people. Isaiah 11:12-16. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left from the Assyrian, from the Egypt, and from the Petros, and from the Cush, and from the Elam, and from the Shinar, and from the Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people that shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 27:12-13, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria. And this is where the Labanites, the kinsmen, brethren to Abraham's household, they're north of Israel. The land of Assyria is north of Israel. Today it's called Babylon, Babylonian. And the outcast in the land of Egypt and shall worship the Yahshua in the holy mount at Jerusalem. For the Yahshua opens the way, and the Yahshua gathers his people. So it says, now about the war as it stands today, track number 14, the War News Forecast, which came out several years ago, tells the truth concerning World War number 2 and its outcome, for the track gets its light from the Nahum's prophecy. For the war there predicted, the prophet declares his thought in the day of the automobile, and the day that men run to and fro while the chariots rage in the streets, just one against another in the Broadway, while running like the lightning in our time. That war, the tracks of finished time and chance solved mysteries, proved as World War number 2. The prophet saw one that dashes in pieces Hitler, daring his enemies to prepare against him. Then the prophet saw the worthies of him who dashes in pieces Hitler's worthy stumble in their walk, fall by the mistake in their march for the victory. And so it came to pass that after Hitler opened his guns against the nations around him and started breaking everything to pieces, the Allies went to prepare for the war. Hitler caused his worthies to stumble by their waging war against Russia while in war with the Great Britain, and by going after Greece and Egypt rather than crossing the English Channel, when the England unknown unto him was almost to give up. Thus his worthies stumbled and never rose again. Finally, Hitler disappeared and hostilities ceased, but according unto Nahum's prophecy, and also according to the current events as broadcast by the news reports, everywhere the war is still on. It has not actually ceased, but is only making a turn for the worse, yes, and it is only a matter of time before it will become even hotter than it was previously to hit this disappearance. Moreover, there has been no official declaration as yet that the war is over. No complete settlement with the powers which fought in the war has as yet been reached. Anyone can see that the war is fast getting ready to resume the war with a mightier and final blow if possible. Anyone can see too that the war was not won for the good of the Great Britain, but for the Russian, and that following the cessation of the hostilities, conditions have caused the world to consolidate into two great and hostile blocks, the Western, that's where the United States lies, and the Eastern bloc, that's where Euro Union of the nations of Europe lies, not to mention the wars and rumors of wars all around us. This happened because Great Britain allied with the atheistic Russia, a government that is against Yahweh and his church. Thus Great Britain puts greater trust in the Yahweh's enemy than in the Yahweh himself. And that is why the war is yet to be fought. That's because Great Britain hates the Jews so. They hate the Jews. They were the one that controlled their land until the Jews took it back in May the 14th, 1948, and the British has hated them to this day. Because they weren't able to maintain their land then. They had to give it up. Great Britain did. And now, while the Cold War between the East and the West is on, the churches, too, by the Amsterdam Confederacy, are enlarging the size of each block. Both radio broadcasts and newspapers declare that all the churches except the Roman and the Russian Orthodox churches did send representatives unto the Amsterdam Assembly, the Russian Orthodox Jews, you know, is the Greek Orthodox Church. And why do you suppose the church that is in Greece joined the Confederacy, that the church that is in Russia did not? Only because of fearing the bloc they are in, the churches too are taking sides with their respective blocks, Eastern or Western. What will the Roman Church do? She too will of necessity eventually join the Western Bloc, that's the United States. And today Great Britain joined the United States. They're not joined with Russia. Or are they? Does it not look to you as though the world is getting ready for a church and state government? There it is, church and state government, and that's where we're at today. They are right now trying to get this church and state government put into operation right now, even as we speak, 2023. I have repeatedly pointed out that the world is unwittingly making a mighty effort for the saddling of the scarlet-colored beast of the Revelation 17 and for the mounting of there on the Babylon the Great. We are headed for this church and state government. There it is, church and state government, of which the Babylon the Great symbolizes while riding the scarlet-colored beast. And when the war gets hot again, Babylon may then replace the United Nations thereafter. So it is seen that the world, in its attempt to overcome the obstacles with which it is confronted, is as it were jumping out of the fire and falling into the frying pan, only because it is not taking Yahweh into the partnership. For the world sees communism as a hydra-headed monster behind a bush, and the nation are already, so to speak, smiting their knees one against the other while they look at it for their safety. However, does not depend on the fear and armament, nor on the man we elect for the president, but on the Yahweh, on him who holds the earth and space, and who still rules the affairs of men, of mankind, from the dawn of history till today. The great nations that have fallen fell when they were best armed and most independent of the other. This should be a great lesson unto all, but who realizes Yahweh, therefore, for the sake of his own will, puts in the hearts of the communist or communist-like powers the 10 horns of the scarlet-colored beast to hate the woman, hate religion, as does communism. To give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of Yahweh shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17:17. Now the statement to give their kingdom implies that they have a kingdom to give. And in the verse 12, however, we are told that they have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. When both statements are put together, then the statements say that communism could have a kingdom, could rule the world, but Yahweh had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. They therefore only receive power as the kings 1 hour with the beast, after which they destroy the woman, the church, and state system. They're going to destroy this church and state system. This mark of the beast system is going to go in when the decree goes forth, and take the kingdom unto themselves. Revelation 17:7. For a detailed exposition of the 17th chapter of the Revelation, read tract number 12. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, page 30-33. Just now, how this is to come about, I do not know, but I know. But I do know that the greatest of all wars is to be fought about the Holy Land. Behold, says the Yahshua, the day of the Yahshua cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Zechariah 14:1-2. For the prophetic statement, Yahweh hath put in their hearts to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, proves true what I tried to say a while ago, that when any nation became great and on its own without Yahweh, built a gigantic war machine for the defense and aggression, then it was that nation came to naught. For the tranquility and prosperity of any nation and people, therefore depends on their stand with Yahweh, not on their military strength. Let me now remind you what inspiration has to say of the association of the nations and peoples according unto the current event. For light on the subject, we turn to the 8th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Time will not permit me to restudy with you the whole chapter, and I do not think it necessary, for we studied it not long ago. Okay, it says, you remember that the chapter unveiled the confederacy, which the ancient Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom, the church, made with the ancient Syria, a sovereign power of the world, to war against Judah, a sister kingdom, which is the house of David, church. Inspiration makes a type of that church and state confederacy, and by it definitely points out the trend the nominal churches and the sovereign powers of the world are to take down, and the antitype, it makes known moreover that they will not prosper in it. I shall now read to you what Yahweh himself thinks of it, Isaiah 8:8-10, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of our land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of the far country. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for Yahweh is with you. According unto the St. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the name Emmanuel belongs to Yahshua. And by the interpretation, it means Yahweh with us. Plainly then, the explanation of Emmanuel shows that inspiration is speaking unto Yahshua, and since he could not be thus addressed before he was born of a woman and received the name Emmanuel, it is obvious that this association of the peoples is to be found in the Christian era, that would be in our time, in the last days, in the era in which the Emmanuel lived. No, the statement, take counsel together and it shall not come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand, for Yahweh is with us. Plainly says what I tried to tell you, that the nations, including the churches, have left Emmanuel, Yahweh with us, out of their plans, that what they are trying to do, they are doing on their own initiative and resources, for the words Yahweh is with us coming from one who is not with the assemblies of the people clearly implies that the Emmanuel is not with them, and that therefore their work shall come to naught. From these scriptures it is seen that the current events brought about the two opposing blocks, the East and the West, are not going to work out according unto the human planning, that the plans made by the Confederacy or the Confederation of the Nations and people are to come to naught except they consult Yahweh and take him into the partnership. Let us now hear what the Yahshua has to say. We'll have to do the stand he would have to his people take. Let's read that again. Let us now hear what the Yeshua would have us do. The stand he would have us, or his people, to take. Isaiah 8:11-12. For the Yeshua spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy unto them, unto whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. For the fear which the people fear is not to be our fear, neither are their plans to be our plans. Our study is to Isaiah 8:13, sanctified with Yeshua the host himself, and that's the Son. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. For the sanctifying of Yeshua is to be all for him, to have no one else in his stead, to put your entire trust in him, not making flesh your arm, for he alone is able to see you through. And though you should be the only one in all the world to take such a stand, he will not fail you. If such be your case, you will then become heaven's greatest hero, Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of the stumbling, and for a rock of the offense unto both the houses of the Israel, for a gin and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For this truth, you know well now, just as has any divinely revealed truth at any time in the past become a rock of the offense and a snare unto many, yes, as the Yeshua himself became such to the Jews, because rather than taking their stand firmly for the divine truth, they are becoming as hostile against it as were the Jews in Yeshua's day. Since the prophecy continues through the 9th chapter, we shall read Isaiah 9:20-21. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm, for the Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah, that's the house of David, the lawgiver, with Yeshua at the head of it. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Such will be the results of rejecting Yahweh and his counsel. All who take their stand with the multitude against Yahweh's people will find themselves in the same predicament as the Midianites found themselves in the Gideon's time. As the light breaks out, they will kill one another. But the faithful will be delivered. This, however, is not all. Isaiah 8:15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. According to this scripture, many of them will find the rapture not to their life, and not according unto their teaching of it, for Yeshua commands it in Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. For a disciple is the one who follows Yahshua on and on in the divinely revealed truth, which he accepts not because others do, do not, because the Father, which is in heaven, has through his Spirit personally convinced him of it, Matthew 16:17, because independent of what others do or say, he is personally persuaded by the Spirit and the testimony and his living word passed on by his chosen and Spirit-filled messengers, the Spirit of the prophecy at the work, Revelation 19:10. Hence, to bind up the testimony among his disciples is to confirm the spirit of prophecy among them and them only, and to seal up the law among them is to have the law authorized and fortified by the church, to have them see the necessity of keeping it, and to have them calmly say, Isaiah 8:17, and I will wait upon the Yahshua that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom the Yahshua hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Yahshua the host, which dwelleth in the Mount Zion. Soon it will be seen that those who take a firm stand on the side of the truth will be for signs and wonders. Those who take a firm stand. Isaiah 8:19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have the familiar spirit, and unto the wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto the Yahweh for the living and to the dead? Here, the world is shown to give a greater attention unto the spiritualism than unto a thus saith the Yahshua, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, because there is no light in them, it is because they are hell. For the Yahweh's people will know that those who take a stand other than the one which the truth here sets forth are so doing because the spirit of the truth is not dwelling in their hearts. And let us remember that to make flesh your arm to consult man when the Yahweh should be consulted is every bit as bad as to consult the spirits of darkness. Therefore also now saith the Yahshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with the fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto Yahshua your Savior, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2:12-13. This brings the end of our study. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour calling us, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. With a song entitled, Last Real Way to Heaven. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engine in its grave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fill the tunnel, never fall or never quail. Your hand upon the throttle, and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, and we reach
helpless or strong. Where the angels went, he joined us in the praise forevermore. He will railroad the place of triumph, he will cross the desert strife. See that Yahshua is your conductor on this lightning train of love. All is mindful of obstruction, your duty never fails. Keep your hand upon the throttle, your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Every leaf that blissful shore, when the angels may teach on us, in their praise forevermore. He will often find obstruction, extra storms and wind and rain, or a fell. Almost wrestle, it almost gets your train. Put your trust alone in Yahshua, never falls or never fails. Keep your hand upon the throne, and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Every great sickness ashore, where the angels make peace on us, and thy praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, and Jordan's swelling tide,